Well, glory to God. It wasn't as hot today as it has been. Starting to cool off a little bit, maybe. Right? I also noticed that it's starting to get dark earlier, too. Yeah, me. You know, one thing that everybody has to deal with is transition and change. Anybody realize that? You know, actually, when you think about it, we're in transition and change all the time because everything is changing. In fact, you know, change is just a fact of life. You know, but most people don't like change. I've been in the church all my life. As you know, I was born one Sunday and next Sunday I was in church. And I've been there 79 years. Been preaching 60 of it myself. And I find that people don't like if you change stuff. You know, we're redoing the auditorium, you know, and I changed this platform. I did it. And I guess somebody said something because I saw somebody put something on Facebook about don't gripe about it or something. I saw one of you members did it. I don't know who did it. Thank you. Y'all got my back. That's good. But, you know, I think it's going to be great when we get it all finished. It's going to be really look good. But the reason that they don't like change most of the time is fear. Fear of things that's beyond their control. Fear of, they don't know, it's unknown. They don't know what's going to happen. You know, they don't know what to expect. And then the big one is fear of failure. You know, many people don't take advantage of opportunities because of fear of failure. You know, see, change and transition go together. Change speaks of the event. Transition speaks of the process. Now, change means to undergo alteration, to replace. Transition means passage from one place, period, state, or condition to another. We're always making changes and don't realize it. And I'm a little loud. I think I'm ringing back a little bit. I think I'm a little loud. Or maybe it's just me. I don't know. You know, do you realize that you make a change and a transition every time you go in your closet and change clothes? We don't realize it, but we make little transitions and little changes daily in our lives. Now, we don't recognize them because they're not as noticeable and as eventful as changing a job or changing a tire on a car. Okay? You know, right now, and that's one of the reasons I started talking about this, is because right now it's September. Students are going back to school. Families' routines are changing from the summer and they're transitioning from kids getting to sleep late to now they got to get up and go to school. Older students are going to college. Hello. Did you ever realize that there are certain times of the year that are really transition and change times? Anybody ever realize that? This is, and did you know, although we have January to January, we call it a year, but did you know most people, especially people that are in college or university and families that have students in school, their year goes from September to September. Anybody ever notice that? See, we're always in change. Now, Ecclesiastes 3:1, King Solomon, supposed to have been the wisest man that ever lived. I don't know whether it's so or not, but that's what people say anyway. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. That's the New King James. The Message Bible says, I like it. It says, there is an opportune time to do things, a right time for everything on the earth. Here he is speaking of change and seasons. You know, we have many major changes in life. We change from childhood to teenager, teenager to adult, single to being married, from moving from one grade to the next grade in school, moving away and going to college or university, moving into the workforce, you know. Now, it's said that there's three kinds of people. Those who want everything now, those who are waiting for someday. And then those who negotiate the seasons of life and achieve a successful life with God. Now, I want you to notice that once again, like I said, Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, seasons and purposes are connected. You go through certain seasons so that you can accomplish certain purposes. You know, as we live our life with God, we find that we go through various times and seasons until we're able to accomplish what God wants us to do. You know, to help us to navigate our lives, our Christian lives and our lives, and fulfill our purpose, let's look at some things. God ordained times and seasons. Way back in the beginning, in Genesis 8:22, while the earth remained, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter, summer, day and night shall not cease. As long as the earth remains, is the earth still remaining? Then there's constant change. You know, planting comes before harvesting, right? Assignment comes before preparation. You can't make preparation to know what the assignment is, right? You know, training comes before doing. It's pretty hard to do something if you're not trained in how to do it, right? God has a purpose for every season and every time in your life. You know, promotion in God's kingdom is developed through the various stages that we go through as we learn how to live with Him the way He wants us to live. You know, you go through a season of learning from your parents. And then you go through a season of school. Then you go through a season of family, getting your own family, starting your own family. You go through a season of going into the job and the workforce. See, actually, as you look at this, all of these actually are training and preparation so that you can continue to move along in life. Right? Y'all here, y'all going home? All right. I just wondered. You know, preparation and development and training are necessary if we are going to accomplish anything. Preparation and development and training is necessary because it helps us to handle the assignments that life brings to us and that God gives to us. Now look at the people in the Bible. They went through seasons and transitions. Now some of them went through wilderness experiences before they ever got to where God wanted them. You know, Moses, the Israelites, David, John the Baptist, Jesus, Paul. Someone said the quality of preparation determines the quality of performance. Now that is extremely true on the field of athletics. If you don't prepare properly, your performance is going to be horrible. You know, now, my dad used to say, preparation is not wasted time. See, now, you remember, God led the Israelites through the wilderness. This was a preparation and development time. And the reason was is because they had to go through the younger generation went through the wilderness experience because the older generation refused to go into the promised land. Now God is having to teach this younger generation to follow him and all of his plans. That's what he leading them all through the wilderness. But if you notice, there in the first chapter of Joshua, when they got ready to go to the promised land, they told Joshua there in the last part of that first chapter, they said, "You just be strong and courageous and we'll follow you wherever you go." Because they had learned how to follow God. Actually, when they first left Egypt, God didn't take them the shortest way to the promised land, because they would have had to gone through the land of the Philistines, and God knew that they would have to, that they weren't ready to fight a battle yet, because they still had the slave mentality. He had to get that out of them. You know, sometimes during preparation and development and training stages in our lives, we don't understand it. You know, often during these times is when you learn what you're going to need for the future. Do you? I mean, I couldn't understand. Here I am. I had accepted the call of God at 17. Or 16, I'm sorry. And I'd gone, finished high school. I went to Bible college. I'm in my senior year at Bible college. And back in, you young ones don't know nothing about this. The older ones know something about, we used to get drafted into the army. You had to sign up. And if they called your number, you got a letter that said, "Uncle Sam, won't you report to such and such at such and such a time?" Well, I'm in Bible college, and I got one of those letters. And I didn't quite understand it, but I went down and talked to them, and so I got into the Army Security Agency. And as I look back on that, the things I learned working with all that top secret stuff helps me to be able to leave that office over there and go out on a crusade and not think any, I just block it. Because when you work with that secret stuff, when you walk out of that door of that center, you better block it out and don't talk about it. Don't think about it. Even if your buddy that y'all work together, y'all don't even talk about it outside of that secure area. I got anybody in here that worked in that area? Oh, I got some people that know what I'm talking about. You don't even with the guys that you work with outside of that secure area, you don't even talk about it. So you learn how to, somebody say, "I can't do that." I said, you can learn. If you got 20 years in Leavenworth prison hanging over your head, you can learn really quick. But you see, I can leave that office, walk out, go out and do a crusade, never even think about what's going on back here, because I learned to do that. And with all that I've got going on with the church, the school, the television ministry, the book ministry, the schools all over the world, and radio. I mean, I got a lot of things going on. We do. Well, it's all of us, Lynette, Craig, Denise, all of us. But I just walk away from it. You know, I learned how to do that. Now, why would I, you know, I'm trying to follow God. Now, I'm associate pastor with my father-in-law. I've been there almost 6 years. I'm destined to take that church over. Now God moves me. I come to work for my father because God said to. with no, I'm preaching every Sunday, sometimes on Wednesday night, and sometimes twice on Sunday, and I'm running all youth programs, all range of everything. I handled everything but the finances. Okay? Now, all of a sudden, I'm jerked out. I'm out here going and setting up crusades, reading contracts of performing arts centers and stadiums and hotel ballrooms and all of that kind of stuff, loading and unloading with all those boxes of books and all those tapes we had. He didn't have any albums back then when I came here in 67. We had 72. We had 200 single cassette tapes, a message, 200 different messages, right, huh? And Craig used to help me set all that stuff up, and we had a few books, you know. Now, that's all I'm doing. Now, it looks like I took a step backwards. I've got no preaching responsibility whatsoever. I get up and make announcements, and that's it. Help him. That was it. See, what I'm trying to talk to y'all about is sometimes when it looks like that you're not doing anything, it's really important because you're learning how to be ready for the next step. And many people get anxious. You know, David was anointed king, but it was 7 years before he became the king. And he went through a lot of experiences. But in that, he was developing. See, both Saul and David did wrong things, but Saul hardened his heart and God against God, and David repented. Hey, think about Moses. Now, he wants to help the children of Israel, so he tried to do it on his own, killed an Egyptian. Now he's down in the backside of the desert, you know, taking care of smelly sheep. Now, can you imagine Moses? I used to have everything I wanted. I was in the palace in Egypt. Now look at me now. Will I ever be able to do anything significant? Can God ever use me again after I made a mistake? You see, all of those things could have went through his head, but Moses didn't realize it, but he is being prepared to lead those millions of Jews, the children of Israel, out of Egypt's bondage. He was being prepared. See, God doesn't ask us to accomplish everything at once. He leads us through various seasons and times and stages. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day out on the crusade, and they said, man, I didn't realize that it was actually really hard going to Rhema, but now as I look back on it, that was one of the greatest periods of my life, because I couldn't be where I am now if I hadn't buckled down and stayed in Rhema. There are many of you that you're not students, but you're working jobs, you're doing different things. You need to quit getting so anxious. You need to just settle down where you are and let God lead you and guide you and direct you, and become successful where you are. Do you realize, I don't care what your dreams or what your visions are, if you don't become successful where you are and what you're doing, you'll never be successful in your dream. Come on now. You know how I teach. I like to teach from the spiritual side and the natural side at the same time, because what I'm talking about tonight will work on the spiritual side and it works on the natural side. How many understand that? You know, in fact, I like these Wednesday nights just to be a time of instruction with you guys. You know, you recognize your season and learn to enjoy it. See, in Matthew 16, 1 through 3, then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and tested him and asked he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. When it is in morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." You know, he said, you know, just paraphrasing it, and from what the NLT says, they demanded of Jesus for a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority, really. And he said, "Well, you say all this about the weather. You know how to interpret the signs of the weather, but you don't know how to interpret the signs of the time." See, we need to learn how to realize why we're in certain situations doing certain things. You know, Paul said in Philippians 4:11, "Now I speak in regard to the need, for I have learned." He had to learn it. "For I have learned in whatever state to be content." Or, you know, actually, God called Paul in Acts 9. It wasn't until Acts 13 that he was separated to do the work of the ministry. That was a few years. In fact, he spent 2 years down in Arabia with God training him. Paul had to prepare and train before he could do anything. See, the Holy Spirit knows things and gives us understanding of the times and seasons. Job 32:8. Now, we don't like to go to Job, but he has some good stuff. "But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding." Sometimes you know what to do, but the important thing is to know when. You know, if you follow the Spirit of God at the right time, everything works good. We got 253 rhemas in 51 nations, right? I got that we're going to have rhemas all over the world in 1980. I preached a sermon about it. How to make the dream God give you come true. I preached it at a conference, ministers' conference. And in it, I didn't know it then, but in it I said we're going to have rhemas all over the world. I'd never said that before. I said that. I listened to it. Now, okay, we're going to have rhemas all over the world. All right, let's go start them. So I went and tried to start two. Later, God said, "Okay, you got the base. You got the personnel. Now you can go to the world." Now, what am I trying to tell you? I knew what to do, but my problem was I didn't seek God as to the when. That's what happens to some of you sometimes. You may know something that God's telling you, or there may be a God telling you something. You got to know when. Just don't quit your job and jump. Somebody told me the other day, I was telling somebody this, "Well, I think I'd like to change careers. I think I'd just quit my job." I said, "Don't do that. That's dumb." I said, "Keep what you're doing until you get something in the other career. Otherwise, you hung out there with nothing." Amen. Come on. Amen. You know, See, it says in Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we're the children of God, but he'll bear witness with our spirits concerning what we need to know. With understanding. You know, you can go read that scripture over there in Ephesians, the first chapter of Ephesians. That's one of the things he said, knowledge and understanding. You know, if you know what, but you don't know when, then pray and ask God for understanding. And not, it, we just read, we read the scripture there where it said back there in Job, let me go find it and read it again to you. There in Job, here it is. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. The Spirit of God talks to your spirit on the inside. You know, I've seen people jump and move through the years when if they'd have stayed still, things would have worked. I've had people actually leave working here that I knew that some things were coming up and they would have been a vital part. And I couldn't tell them what was happening, but I would tell them, look, just stay put, stay with me. There's some things, no, I gotta go. And you know what? It wasn't 2 months after they left that everything worked out and they would have been right there at the right time. And I've seen some of them not ever accomplish what they need to accomplish. Hello, I'm not talking about ministry position. I'm talking about just one of working here at the ministry. I'm not talking about everybody that works at the ministry and everything that you do, you're in ministry. Everybody's a minister wherever they're at. But I'm not talking about a pulpit ministry. Okay? Everybody's a minister. I got a sermon I preach on that. Every member a minister. We are. Now, you see, vision and direction are vitally important when it comes to transition and change. If you remember in Habakkuk, however you want to pronounce it, he said there, write the vision and make it plain. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Now, many times God brings things to you that's for out there. Like I said, through the Spirit, I said we're going to have school, Rhema schools all over the world, okay? But I didn't stop to analyze that it wasn't for that time. It was for another time. You see, I didn't have the base of operation at that time. I didn't have the personnel all over the world. But 20 years later, I had a strong base here, and I had personnel all over the world. How many understand what I'm saying to you? Okay? Actually, the Message Bible sort of says this little, it says, write what you see. Write it with big block letters so that it can be read on the run. This vision and message. See, God shares many things with you before it's the actual time. See, there is seasons and purposes. There's a purpose for this season because this season gets you ready for the next season. In life, going to school, one grade gets you ready for the next. Then you go through elementary school and it gets ready, you're ready for the middle school. And then that gets you ready for high school and that gets you ready for college. And that's supposed to get you ready to go into the workplace, right? See, and it's all, each season has its purpose. As you walk with God, in the things of God. Each season, each time he has you a certain place, doing a certain thing, it's for a reason. I mean, I've been in a lot of churches. I've seen a lot of things. And when I got ready to build this church, I began to realize that I had seen so much that I had a really good idea of what was. And when this church was built in 1992, now if I was doing it today, I'd do it completely different because times and seasons have changed. But when I built this building in 92, this building was state of the art. There wasn't another church like it anywhere in the world. How many were with us? I know Ron and them were here and walked in, walked from the over to NRC, walked over and walked in those doors back there. Man, it was something else. And then some of you don't even know it, but there's some people in here know that there's that thing goes up and down, orchestra pit back there, right back there where the pulpit used to be, it could go up and down. But there was an orchestra pit. We had a full orchestra. I thought I saw Cornell here a while ago. Oh, there he is back there. Cornell used to play the tuba. We had a full orchestra. I mean, all the strings, everything. How many of you remember that? And Donald Higgins would hit that timpani drum, and they would start playing Majesty, Worship His Majesty. Man, it still makes cold chills go. How many of y'all remember that? And that would come up. See? But that was a season. Now we move on from that, and it changes. Your life is the same way in the natural, and it's the same way in the spiritual. You move on with God with the spiritual things. And some people want to hang on to this season. Well, if you try to hang on to this season, you can't ever get over here. Come on. Some people don't want to even move out in the natural. I'm talking down both sides of the fence, the natural and the spiritual side. And in both of them, we live in lives that are, our spiritual life goes through transition, our natural life goes through transition. How many of you are a long way from where you were when you first came in? Thank God. We all are. But you had to transition from that. Anybody ever climbed a stepladder? Did you come from the floor to the top step? Huh? No, it's one step at a time, right? And some people is young and got long legs. They might make two steps at a time. I've done that before when I was lot younger. But you see, that is life. That's transitioning spiritually and naturally. You know, if you learn to be patient where you are, Paul said, I have learned to be content. Then he go. You can go on and read it. What he else says? He says about, you know, when he didn't have much, but when he had a lot, he learned how to be that way. So you got to be ready and willing for change. Many people are not willing for change. They don't want no change, and they're going to stay right where they are. And God has blessed them all He can bless them until they get ready to move on with Him. How many understand what I'm talking about to you tonight? Anybody getting anything out of this? See, change and transition is inevitable in life. Change and transition is inevitable in your spiritual life. Because if you're going to receive everything that God wants for you, you've got to learn how to walk with Him day by day. And it's called being prepared and developing to move into what and take advantage of what God wants you to do. If you're going to, in the natural, you got to prepare yourself and develop yourself to take advantage of an opportunity in the natural when it comes. one time there was a guy, and he was talking about, I want to do such and such with this was years and years ago, with tapes and stuff, recordings and stuff. And he got into it. Well, I talked to him, and then I said, listen, it's changing. It's changing. You better learn how to go to the digital. He didn't ever change. And he lost his job because he couldn't move. He couldn't transition and move in the company. I mean, no longer was it tapes. You know, you used to, when you put a radio tape together, you would cut and splice the tape together. Is that Gene? Gene, are you back there? Is Gene Whitaker back here anywhere? He's usually here somewhere. He used to do that. And he had to learn to go into the digital world, because now you can do it now digitally. But you see, if you don't learn to transition in that, and you, even though you're in that field, you can't move on. Ben back there, that's our sound man. Where you at, Ben? There you are, wave at me. Ben has to stay up all the time with the new technology, that's because it's evolving, it's changing and transitioning, right? How many of you have to do that on your job? Yeah. Do you realize in the spiritual world that if we're going to move with God to a new level, we got to transition? Praise the Lord. Well, it's time to quit. It's 8 o'clock. It's time to quit. Did you get anything out of this tonight? I was just thinking and meditating on this stuff, and that's what come out. And so I trust it was beneficial to you. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for helping us to minister to the people. I trust that each one received what they needed from this lesson, and that they can take it and put it into their lives and make the transitions and the changes. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, if you happen not to be born again, don't know Jesus Christ, then you can't take advantage of some of the stuff I was talking about tonight. Or if you know what it is to live with him, but you know you're just not where you need to be, and you might need to rededicate your life. Or you might be like one person was. Everybody thought he was a Christian because he was in church. Every time church door opened, he was there. But he came forward in one of the meetings, and it surprised everybody. And this was what he said. He said, I can't remember the first time I went to church. I was a little boy. I've been in church all my life. But tonight, I got to realize that I don't know that I've ever made a confession of Jesus Christ as my Lord. Do you realize there's some people like that? You might be like that here. You may have gone to church all your life. You have to confess Jesus Christ as Lord as your life. If any of you want prayer for any one of those areas, if you'll come to the front, the ladies here, the men over here, as we're dismissed, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. If you want prayer for any reason, you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you want somebody to pray with you about and agree with you about a job or any kind of prayer, come right here. They'll pray with you. The prayer team will minister with you. Praise the Lord. Everybody stand, please. We want to thank all of you guys that tune in there on the Facebook Live and on the Rhema.tv. We know we have those that you're there every week with us. And we thank you for being there. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, connection team, go find our first time guests. Take them to that special place where they get a special gift. And it's a nice gift too. You're going to like it. All right. If you're looking for a church home, why don't we say church? Welcome home. Just come on and join us. We call ourselves the Rhema family. We have a great time serving God unlimited around here, both naturally and spiritually. Amen. Praise God. Hey, don't forget all the announcements, especially the We Care Center. We're helping a lot of families. Last month, we helped 30 families. Now, that's 30 families, and they could be 5, 6 in a family. So it's a lot of people. We give them each one 3 big bags of groceries, and then we gave out over $530 worth of certificates so they can go down to Walmart and buy milk and perishable stuff, okay? So, and that's you. You're helping to, you helped feed 30 families last month that didn't have food. Thank God. You know, the Word of God talks about if you have the wherewithal to help somebody, you're supposed to do it, amen? And not only do we give them food, but when they come over there, they talk to them about God and about knowing Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Thank God that we're able to do that. Amen and amen. Now, somebody said, well, we're helping outsiders, but actually, what y'all don't realize, I started the We Care Center in the late 80s when the oil company went in the tank. And we had people in our own church. I mean, all engineers and different ones and high paying jobs that all of a sudden, and one guy said, I went to McDonald's and I applied. They wouldn't hire me. They said I was overqualified. I told them I didn't care. I just needed a job. My family. And so the Lord told me to start the We Care Center to help people in our own church. That's the way it started. To help people, and then we went outside. But if you're in the church and you just run into a little difficulty, well, hey, don't be embarrassed. We want to help you too. So just go over there to the church office and apply, and we'll help you get through your struggle and get you back on your feet. Amen. Praise God. Don't remember Sunday morning right here. We're gonna be here. I'm gonna be here. Amen. So. Come believing, come expecting. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I'm going to transition. How about you with God? If you need prayer for any reason, come to the front right now. Come to the front right now. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, we'll see you Sunday. God bless.